everybody, and welcome back to the Enterprise Dish. We are hanging out with a regional director, a Microsoft MVP, a man in the Washington, D.C. area, Mr. Dux. How's it going?
Doing well, Brad. How are you doing?
Still above ground, right? Things are, I would say the weather's improving. It legit had 2 inches of snow on the ground at my house earlier this week. And so we're still above ground. Hopefully the warmer weather's around the quarter or something, but no complaints otherwise, other than the snow.
I had 2 inches of pollen. It makes you feel better.
Yeah, a little, that would be all up in my sinuses. But a lot has happened since we last talked. We've got a new Teams hardware. We've got new Teams features. We've got a new website to talk about here in a second.
Yeah.
But let's just kick it off, Dux. I think last time we talked, I left it with a teaser that said, hey, the word dongle, it's going to be important. Microsoft announced a bunch of new Teams hardware here. We've got the Surface Headphones 2 Plus, which that features a dongle, so then you can use it as Teams certified. We've got some wired and wireless headsets. We've got a USB-C speaker, and we've got a webcam. I mean, that's like a portfolio of Teams hardware right out of Microsoft.
Absolutely. And I think they also came out with new colorful iMacs, right?
Technically, you can use Teams with those. So, but that's yeah. Right.
But yeah, amazing. All these new Teams-enabled hardware goes to show Microsoft's commitment and doubling down on Teams. But more importantly, it's, I would assume, the vision of what the next norm will look like in the hybrid workspace, right? So while enhancing the software is great, but they need technology to complement it. So there you go.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I honestly, like when they announced all this stuff, I was like, wow, I'm kind of surprised they didn't announce this stuff like a year ago or like 2 years ago, because it fits right into that. Actually, as I was saying that, I don't think it was a surprise, but I almost wonder if Teams like usage like exploded so much and so quickly that mm-hmm. maybe that they were like, wow, we should probably build some hardware. And by that point, you know, it was already a year gone by, and then you figure a year for development, and then we're kind of around that time frame, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, even while there's been previous announcements, they've been doing a lot of investments around Teams rooms as well. So a lot of these, you know, conference room type of hardware. And it keeps coming out. So I'm sure there's more to come.
That we will keep everyone aware of as we hear more. One of the other features that has been announced that I am very excited about, it's almost to my perfect scenario, almost there, is Microsoft announced for Teams that you'll now be able to use a link to join a meeting, which is great. So you no longer need to find that calendar invite and jump through all those hoops. The only missing component here, Dux, is I'm waiting for vanity links so that I can have a reoccurring Dux and Brad awesome podcast that we always click on every time we're going to record an awesome podcast. Sure. But
well, I mean, we can kind of sort of do that with URL shorteners, right?
Sure, yeah. That's a good point. That is a good point. So, Dux, here's the crux of things that this is something we built over on Petri. It's not fully done. There's still a couple UI tweaks, but we wanted to get it up and running and started getting it cataloging. And I think everybody listening to this is going to find a lot of value, at least I hope. So we built a site called m365log.com. We also have logs.com. So if you go to that too, it'll redirect you over. But what this does, Dux, is as a writer, as somebody who's covered, like those links are a perfect example. Those things all appear in Microsoft's message list, which is behind that admin authentication layer, effectively. Now, you can assign global reader rights to some people, but across your org, you're not going to be doing that, especially if you've got a large organization. And so one of the challenges is like, hey, I write about this and I want to link to it. Like, I want to tell people like, hey, here's the announcement. So as of, you know, a couple months ago, all I could do was link to MC, the 6 or 7 digit number.
Right.
So what we did was we created a tool that reads all those messages and then catalogs them and then brings them out from behind that authentication wall, bearing Microsoft doesn't get too angry about us doing this. Is a definite thing. We don't think they will, because there's a built-in share button on this website.
There you go. So it's not plagiarism at all, right?
No, not at all. Like, we like, I'm honestly, we were all just waiting for Microsoft to be like, ah, we'll just bring this out from behind it anyways, because like we had a pretty candid conversation as we were building this tool. Like none of this stuff is like proprietary. These are just changes to applications you're paying for or a service that you're paying for. And so all this does is it brings that out, and it's just a nice running list. We've got filters set up so you can just click things like new features, and we'll eventually be building out some new functionality on Petri. So there'll be like a new features bucket and a big impact bucket. Or if you're reading like a SharePoint article, you can see the last five changes to SharePoint right there. And so there's just a lot of fun stuff you can do once you get the data.
You know, one quick ask or enhancement, if you could do it. You know how Microsoft has their roadmap site, right?
Yes.
So somehow be able to link to those, right? Oh, they promised this and it came here or not, or when, be able to track that. That'd be so cool.
There's a lot of things, honestly, we want to do with this. First off, we just want to, we're trying to be cautious and careful before we invest like tons of time before Microsoft comes and says, hey, don't do that. But realistically, like we want to put it on an actual map. So like you can look and be like, what's going to happen to my tenant in 3 weeks, or what's supposed to happen in 3 weeks? So right now we're effectively in that data gathering phase. We have all the functionality in there for when things expire or when they're supposed to expire, meaning go live. So like that functionality is all there. Eventually, we will add like the visual front end to that sort of thing, and then allow people to just dig in and try to find things. Because one of the questions we get a lot is like, hey, it's like, hey, Brad, we saw this change on our tenant. When did that happen? And like trying to find that stuff can be really taxing. So I just went to our developers like, hey, can we build this? And about 6 weeks later, we had it up and running.
That's awesome. And you know, down the road, if there's enough traction, right? You offer like what a lot of these newspapers do now. You read three articles, you're done, unless you subscribe.
Yeah, well, yes, that's exactly right. The other thing too is eventually we'll have it to the point where it's like, hey, here's, you know, end of this month. Here's the features that I'll ship this month in a nice little package. Or on the flip side, here's all the deadlines that Microsoft missed. Like, like, so as a journalist, data is always fun, and especially for what we do with all these changes, we're hoping to see some good fun out of something like this. So
absolutely. Just make sure, you know, Frank approves the layout, the words, and you're all good.
I'm just waiting for the phone call. Just waiting for the phone call. And other big phone calls that have happened this week, my man. You guys have been rocking and rolling. Shift happens. You guys are streaming this, or we're streaming this, I believe, correctly, on LinkedIn. What about, how's that going? What about replays if people missed out and want to catch up?
Yeah, awesome. So we did a 48-hour marathon Shift Happens event. So day one, we had a lot of wonderful attendees and a lot of wonderful sessions. So for those not familiar, Shift Happens is a conference we host, and a lot of the sessions are from practitioners. So we had companies like Kohler, Horiba, we had Dyson. They essentially talked about their journey into M365, the good, the bad, the ugly. Mm-hmm. And we had folks from those organizations talk about it. We also had sessions in German. We had Siemens Healthineers talk about their rollout, sessions in French and Japanese. So it went well. Had a lot of great feedback. So we're processing all the sessions, and give it a week or two, all of the sessions will be available on shifthappens.to.
And of course, as always, those links will be down in the description below. So Dux, as I didn't put this in there, but I have a question for you about Teams, at least, and this is a really nebulous concept. You know, knock on all the wood that I can find. We are going to see a pretty big shift here, hopefully. Like, we saw the initial shift of everybody's at home. And now everybody is hopefully going to be shifting back into the office. Like, my wife has a date, like, when they're going to start going back in the office. And for a lot of people, I genuinely think this is going to be some of the first times that they're going to be using, quote unquote, Teams, like, in the office. Because it kind of birthed or grew up, like, outside the office. Do you have any, like, thoughts about, like, how that's going to change the dynamic? Do you think we're going to hopefully... I'm hoping we see less meetings, quote unquote, in Teams. But how do you think Teams might evolve or change once we are truly using it in the office again?
No, that's a fantastic question. So one key thing, technology aside, it will make us more intentional, especially in this new hybrid work environment. Most organizations, even government organizations, are not even thinking about 5-day work week. So a lot of organizations are thinking about,
interesting.
Yeah, how do we have this hybrid setup where you can work from home some, because we already proven mm-hmm. it worked, but then we still get together to collaborate, ideate as a team. So I think the first thing that will shift and change is how we think about organizing meetings. So like today, and frankly, I'm guilty of this too, I would just randomly book a meeting with Brad as long yep. as he's available. And I don't consciously think about today is my deep work. And then when I work with my colleagues, that's when I go to the office. So I think that's one thing that'll definitely change in a lot of organizations. So how we think about booking meetings, when we do deep work, when we do collaborative work, which is a good thing. With respect to teams, I think the last year has greatly helped, at least with the calling capability of teams, and mm-hmm. that will continue on. And Microsoft, frankly, has already done a great job. And I saw you tweet about this, is the ability to transfer your calls across yeah. devices.
Yep.
It's seamless. So we'll see more of that. Imagine you walking in and transferring the call to your Teams room setup. So we'll see a lot of that. And but boy, I can't wait to go back and ideate and work. While as much as I love Teams and technology, nothing beats in-person
yeah.
conversations, whiteboarding,
yep.
All that good stuff.
Yeah, we keep talking
with respect
about
to adoption. I think it will carry on and it will continue to grow.
We keep talking about we can't wait for that next in-person, because our company is all remote for the most part, but we meet in New York City pretty regularly, but obviously we haven't. We cannot wait to do just that and just to hang out again. Like mm-hmm. you miss, there's a virtual is like an artificial relationship. While it's great that Ducks and I get to chat and we get to catch up, it's not the same as just sitting at a bar and eating peanuts and drinking some terrible beer or whatever.
That's right.
You know, so it's...
Well, I don't know about eating peanuts in bars moving forward.
Oh, yeah, but anymore.
Like what you're describing, it's that whole idea of serendipitous collisions.
Yeah, right? Wow, that's a 50 Cent phrase right there.
Serendipitous collision, you like that?
I do.
Yeah, so you heard it here first. But yeah, that's something you can't plan for, right? And yeah, I just can't wait to get back to that.
I think that's going to be the name of this episode, if I can figure out how to spell it. Because that is, I love that idea. And it's going to be interesting here just to see how and when, because there's a massive unknown. Like Ducks and I haven't had seen each other at an event. We would see each other at every Microsoft event. I know Microsoft's toiling around right now trying to figure, it's like, man, when is our next big event? My gut is that they'll probably have a press event. Well, might be one of their first things, because when we go to New York City for their Surface stuff, it's usually 50 people. And so that might be the first thing. And then maybe build, not this upcoming build, but yeah. The next build might be right. the first big extravaganza.
Because as far as I know, Inspire would definitely still be virtual.
Mm-hmm.
And the next big thing after Inspire, typically Ignite around yeah. September timeframe, which I suspect will still happen.
Yep.
Most likely it's still going to be virtual, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, because, you know, in the spirit of inclusivity, while the U.S. is doing a lot of great traction on vaccinations, the rest of the world, not quite, right? So
yeah, I didn't even, and that's a really good point, especially for Ignite, because Ignite, when it would happen, was 30 to 40,000 people from all over the place, just all over, and there's no way that that would happen. And I think they announced already that it's going to only be a 2-day event in the fall, I think. So that mm-hmm. might be... indicative, saying this is a virtual event. So anyways, well, Dux, you got any parting thoughts as we head here into the spring ish it was snowing, but it's not spring, or as we wrap it up here on the back of the book?
Well, as we wrap it up, summer's coming. I know, you know, we can't wait to get out, like you mm-hmm. said, hang out, just hang in there. If you get the opportunity to get vaccinated, let's do it. But we can't be carefree, and we still have to make sure we, you know, not only take care of ourselves, our family, and also the community. So wear your mask, wash your hands.
Always sage advice. Always sage advice. Also sage advice is check out the links in the description of this podcast, or on Petri, or on YouTube, or wherever it is you're reading or watching or whatever you're doing this. They're good links, and we'll catch all of you right back here next time.
Bye.